welcome to the first edition of the Hippie Greg Show. Join me as I travel the country and share stories of people living in communes, the Volkswagen bus community, musicians, holistic health practitioners, and a variety of people in various hippie subcultures. The interviews and topics discussed on the show will shed light on stories previously untold, as well as bring awareness to topics outside the mainstream. On my first stop, I met up with Spencer Porden of Ranchester, Wyoming. When looking for a place to stay on couch surfing, I saw a picture of him in a cool Volkswagen bus, and I thought he would make a great first interview. Spencer purchased an abandoned 1969 Volkswagen bus several years ago and brought it back to life. He was able to make contact with a long-term previous owner of the bus and will shed some light on the history of the bus that he bought. With that said, welcome to the show, Spencer.
Good to be here, man. So you just want me to start from the top with the story of the bus, or what do you want?
First, give me a little background on yourself, like where you grew up, what you do now.
I was actually born in Portland, your final destination on your trip. Lived there for a few years when I was a little kid, but we moved out here. So I've lived in, you know, the Sheridan area most of my life. I used to work for a radio station. I studied music and everything. I did that for a while, then got into being a firefighter with the Forest Service for wildlands. That's currently what I do. I'm a firefighter EMT, and then I'm a EMT in a professional ski bum in the wintertime. So
right on, man.
Yeah, I kind of go back and forth between here in Bozeman, Montana, and you know, not bad. I get to travel a lot and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's what I do currently, and constant Volkswagen mechanic. I've got three of them now, actually.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
man.
I've got the bus we're going to talk about, and then I recently traded my old Jeep for another bus, which I'm currently restoring, and then I've got an old 71 Bug that we've taken down to the frame and we're redoing now. We just got to put the interior back in. Kind of a Volkswagen freak.
Oh, that's awesome. It's not a
car club. It's a cult, basically.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to Volkswagen meets all over the country, you meet some of the weirdest dudes. It's everyone's a family, so.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
That's funny that you mentioned cult. Back home with the food cart and the business that I have a lot of loyal customers.
Oh, yeah.
And every once in a while, I'll get somebody that'll come up to me and ask me if I'm starting a cult. And
oh, yeah.
I laugh about it, and I'm like, well, no, but I think if you have some nostalgia or good vibes to something, when it feels right, people want to be around you. And
definitely.
I think with the Volkswagens, there was so much stuff that happened in the 60s and 70s, and that was kind of the iconic vehicle for the whole like Woodstock and hippie movement and everything.
Yep. Well, it's such a weird experience driving them too. You know, they're not like a normal car. They're air cooled. They won't do highway speed unless you're going downhill with a tailwind. And you know, you gotta take life a little slower. They break down constantly. So you're always gonna be at the mercy of that. You never know what's gonna happen. You don't know if you're gonna get to your destination. There's like not a better feeling in the world than being an hour away from home, driving on the Volkswagen, you know, looking through the big bay window of a bus, and it's like a movie that you're watching. So it's pretty neat. That's pretty much echoed throughout the VW community, is the feeling. You know, there's a couple movies, a guy in Missoula, Montana, actually, he's made a couple, it's called the Bus Movie, and then he's got the Bug Movie too. And so he went around all the country and like interviewed a bunch of people with Volkswagens, and that's kind of the same thing that they were all saying. You know, everyone, it's just this weird feeling you get from driving these shitty cars.
you're
getting fumed out, going slow down the highway, but you're having the time of your life.
That's awesome. That actually would be, I'll have to afterwards get the person's name from you so I can look up, because I'll be going through Missoula. That might be a good contact to make.
Yeah.
With that said, talking a little bit about the Volkswagens, when I pulled up your couch surfing profile, that was like the first thing that I saw was the picture of the Volkswagen and you, and that was intriguing to me. Why don't you tell me about your story with the Volkswagen that you bought?
Back in the day, when this bus was new, it was delivered to Florida from Germany. So it was a German bus. It's a 1969. And originally it had three rows of seats. It had its bulkhead bus. So it's got a solid bench front seat, which is kind of unusual for buses. And then it had a middle row, and then finally a back row. Everyone tears out the back two rows of seats and puts a bed in it. So when I got it, it had the most disgusting mattress I've ever seen. I like put some heavy gloves on and pulled that thing out and burned it, I think, in the first 10 minutes of me owning it. Anyways, this was delivered new to Florida. It used to belong to the original owner. His name was Father Nature. You gotta remember, this is 1969, so this dude is a bit out there. But he owned a head shop, you know, a hippie shop, smoke shop, all that stuff. And it's called Pumpernickel Popsicle. So on the side of my bus, it says Pumpernickel Popsicle, Father Nature. our father nature's Pumpernickel Popsicle, you know, he had a shop in Daytona Beach, and I think there was one in Fort Lauderdale too. It's got his phone number on the side and everything, and it says it on both sides. So he had it, and that shop's actually still in business today. They're called Pumpernickel Pops now. Planning on going over there next year. I'm going to take the bus back home and just,
you Where's know, that?
Florida. Yeah.
Okay, right.
So they're in Daytona Beach now.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, we're going to take it back home. I'm going to visit the original owner and everything, or the girl who had it before me. So anyways, Father Nature had it. He had it for a few years. I don't know a whole lot about him other than it was the head shop bus. He had this friend named Jeannie who owned it for the longest time before me. Jeannie, I got to speak to her, and she said she was just given the bus or only paid like $50 for it, something like that, you know, from Father Nature. And it has all this crazy Grateful Dead painting on it, you know. It's got the Grateful Dead skull on the front under the VW. It's got the Grateful Dead bears on the side. It's got a skeleton on the side that says smile, smile, smile with a rainbow and mushrooms growing out of the ground. It's got on the back corner, it's got this sweet little mural of a Grateful Dead U.S. Blues skeleton riding like a chopper. I mean, it's really cool, but this is all hand-painted. So she got it like that and drove it all around. So her deal was she lived in Florida in the wintertime, and then in the summertime, she'd make a cross-country drive in it. She lived in the bus full-time. She'd make a cross-country drive in it. She'd sell T-shirts and crystals out of the bus, which I actually, when I was cleaning it out for the first time, I found her old sign, and it had, like, her prices, like, T-shirts, $5, crystals, you know, assortment, stuff like that. She'd drive it across country to Washington, catch a ferry up to Alaska, and she'd live in Alaska and fish for a month, make a bunch of money, and then catch the ferry back down to the lower 48. The rest of the time, she'd follow the Grateful Dead around. According to her, it's been over 200 Grateful Dead concerts, wow. You know. It's got all the dead paint on it, and so I definitely believe that. But yeah, she would just do that for years and years and years, drive back and forth across the country. The bus has over 300,000 miles on it. I think we're at 360 original miles right now. Been through countless motors. I've been through three. So, you know, I can't. When I got it, didn't have the original one in it, and it looked like a meat grinder went off inside. So I had to totally rebuild it, and they break down constantly. So I've rebuilt it a few times now. So she drove across country, but everyone, this bus is, it's super unique with the paint and everything. It steals the show. She told me a story once that they were accidentally driving through this town and they were having a car show and they accidentally wound up in the middle of this parade. And so there's all these like beautifully restored hot rods and everything, you know, and like this old ass rusted bus with this shitty hippie paint comes in and like everyone's like cheering for the bus. And so they ended up winning the car show. And with the bus, she said that all the guys with the hot rods were pissed and they like tried to get her disqualified because there was a business advertisement on the sign, on the side of it. So they just ended up opening up the sliding door and said a Pumpernickel Popsicle. It kind of folded the words in half. It says Ernickel Popsicle. And then they covered up, they taped newspaper on the other side to cover up the words. So they were trying to screw them out of their trophy with this car show. Basically what happened is, the way I got it, she was driving back from Washington, is what she said, and she got on the interstate here just above Ranchester, Wyoming, where I live. So she started to have some engine trouble. She'd been having engine trouble with it because, you know, it's a Volkswagen, and it was overheating. So her deal was, well, she's only going to drive it at night. So she was only driving it at night to keep it cooler, and she got up on the interstate, and it locked up. Luckily, she was able to coast it down the big hill before town. They get it to the church across the street here, park it in the church, walk the block next to the bar, go in, and she found some rednecks. And she's like, oh, you know, my bus, the engine seized up. Can you tie it to your truck and try to unseize it? So they ended up tying it to a truck, driving it back and forth along the main street in town here.
Right where you live.
Right next door to where I live. I live on the street, right?
Yeah.
They were trying to unseize the engine. Couldn't do it. And she had to get back to Florida for her daughter's wedding. This old neighbor of mine, he was at the bar that night. This was, I think, early, mid-80s. And he bought it off her for $50. And then we used to have a car dealer here in town, just used cars. She took the $50, went down to the car dealer, bought an old International Scout. And that's what she had to leave the bus.
Quite a turn.
Yeah, yes, yeah. So she abandoned the bus, and she had to get to her daughter's wedding. So she bought this International Scout, and she told me it barely made it home. She said the engine gave out like as she was pulling into
that's
the
amazing.
Wedding, you know, something
yeah.
like that, just by the nick of time.
But, meant to be.
Yeah, definitely meant to be, right? She had the bus for quite a while at this point. Before she left it, she pulled off the emblem on the front. It used to have a chrome emblem on it. I've got a red one now because they're kind of hard to find. And I came across one. I'm like, oh, this would look perfect. And I put it on. It fits like a glove and looks pretty good too. So she pulled the emblem off. She still has it. It's actually willed to me. So when she passes away.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
When she passes away, I'll get the emblem back, which is kind of cool. She still has a token for one free drink from the bar that she keeps next to the emblem hung up on her wall. Anyways, what happened was my neighbor got it and he had Shetland ponies. And so he was going to just turn it into a Shetland pony carrier. So he was going to gut it, fix the engine, and just drive his Shetland ponies around in it, you know? It's just kind of funny. But he just never got to it. And so it sat in the back of his yard for as long as I can remember. You know, driving up as a kid, you'd see it, you know, in the back. And I think everyone who lived on my road, there were three of us, and we all tried to buy it for our first car, and he wouldn't sell it. I went to school with his granddaughter, and she contacted me. And she's like, hey, you know, my grandpa's selling all of his stuff, you know, trying to clean out his place. He said, you asked about this bus one time. Like, are you still interested? And I'm like, yeah, definitely. I'm still interested because I had a bug already. You know, I had two bugs at that point. So I love Volkswagens. I was dating a girl who had a bus. So I wanted a bus, you know. So right. I had this bus fever. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be sweet. I had $1,500 in my pocket. I go down to his place and I'm like, yeah, you know, are you still wanting to sell the bus? And he's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, well, what are you wanting for it? You know, and he said, oh, you think $200 is too much? And I'm just like, nope. And I gave him the money. We had to actually dig it out with a skid steer and shovels because it had been sitting for 30 years and it sunk probably halfway up the tires. You know?
That's
and
crazy.
So we got it out and I pulled it home. I lived down the road. So we just pulled it home with a truck after we put some air in the tires. And I think they went flat by the time we got back. So I just pulled it down the road and I actually did a little work on it, you know, threw a battery in it, got it running that day with the motor that was already in it.
Wow.
Yeah. Sitting that long, you know, after cleaning it out, took the spark plugs out, cleaned them and everything. And I was just like, man, I wonder if this thing will run or not, you know, because he said the engine was shot. You know, I was just like, well, it doesn't hurt to try. Tried it, got it running, and I got it down the end of the road. It was about a mile. Down on the road to get the mail and back. I was going to pull by his place, be like, hey, check it out. I got it running. And engine locked up. Right. So I had to call my dad. I'm like, hey, you know, I need you to come tow me back again for the second time today. So, you know, that was the end of that. And I opened up the case. And like I said, it looked like a blender went off inside of it. Rebuilt the motor and actually found some guy had a motor out of a dune buggy in town. He wanted $300 for it. And so I bought that. I went over it real quick and threw it in. And that's probably the motor I had it in it the longest, and you know, I probably put 30,000 miles on it with that motor, so I've taken it all over. So that's how I got it. There's a guy up in Montana who has a Volkswagen salvage yard actually called Braxiero. It's in this little town called Divide, Montana, and you go into town and it's literally the post office, two trailer houses, and then just like a sea of Volkswagens across the street. And that's the whole town. I think population is like 7. And so you go to him and he's got everything under the sun. I went and bought an old Westphalia interior out of it. So I got the fold down bed that turns into a seat in the back. And then we built a little bench for it. And you know, it's got storage. I can do cooking and stuff on it. I've traveled all around with that setup for quite some time. I've taken it to Colorado a bunch, take it to concerts all the time. It's been to Idaho, you know, all over Wyoming, South Dakota, taking it up to Montana, up to Missoula, up to Flathead Lake. So I put quite a few miles on it. I take it up, go skiing. So, you know, that's what I've got. One time I took it down to Colorado and this was quite a trip. I'd just broken up with this girl and we were supposed to go to this concert together. And what happened was we had two tickets. She broke up with me like a week before. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to go to the concert. You know, I was thinking about it. Just like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go anyways. And so I went. I wound up actually meeting this. I stayed with these people on couch surfing. And they had another girl staying with them who was a foreign exchange student from the Netherlands. And she was just traveling the country. It was like, hey, I've got an extra concert ticket. You know, you want to come with me? And so she came with me to this concert, you know, got her first Philly cheesesteak sandwich in America and all this stuff. And she actually wound up randomly running into some people she went to school with in Canada at the concert.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So we all hung out that night, which was kind of wild. And then her and I left and we camped out that night. And then the next day we traveled around for a day and then she went off with her friends and kept going on her journey. But it was fun. It was kind of fun. We went to a town called Nederland, Colorado.
I've been there.
Yeah, yeah. So we went to Nederland, and this girl's from the country, the Netherlands. So she left, and I was in Nederland. What happened was I'm going up that hill outside of the town that goes up, 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 into the forest.
I've been up that hill.
So I'm driving up that hill, and I see two guys walking. And, you know, they're hitchhiking on the side of the road. And at this point, I'm just like, you know what? And I'm in a good mood. Like, I'll pick them up. I stop and pick them up. They're two Mexican guys. One guy's name is Carlos, and the other guy's name is Juan Carlos. So I pick them up, and they're like, yeah, man, we're camping up here, you know. You just come drop us off. And I'm like, okay, I drop them off. And they're like, yeah, man, you need a place to camp. Just come stay with us. And so I'm looking for this place to camp, which I looked on freecampsites.org. Basically, it's a site that marks out free places where you camp where no one's going to bother you. No one's going to give you trouble. It's never accurate. It gets you in the ballpark, but it's never accurate. So I'm like, yeah, well, I'm looking for this spot, but if I don't find it, you know, I'll come back and camp with you guys. So I go and look for this spot. Long story short, the map was just so off that I got lost and I wound up on a Jeep trail. And so I took the bus down a Jeep trail down the face of the Flatiron Mountains in Colorado down into Boulder. So we wound up basically off-roading all the way down to Boulder. And I had people who were like hiking the trail. They were like cheering me on. They're like, yeah, you go, you know. So I get down to Boulder. I'm like, oh, damn, like how did I get down here? And so I'm like, well, I guess I got to go back to Nederland now. So I drove up the pass there and everything through the canyon. And it's a Volkswagen, so I think it has 36 horsepower from the factory.
It's a sketchy road.
It is a sketchy road, and, like, you know, it barely wants to climb this hill, so I'm in, like, first gear, you know, climbing up this hill super, super slow, going, like, 15 miles an hour, you know. Yeah. Well, I get back up to Nederland. I'm like, all right, well, I'll go camp with the Mexican guys. So I drive into where I dropped them off, because I dropped them off at the front of the road. I didn't see where they actually were camping. So I drive in to where they were. I'm, like, looking. I see a sign that says camp spots this way. I, like, you know, go in and see some campers, like, hey, just two Mexican guys around here. Like, yeah, they're just up the road. So I'm like, okay, I'm on the right track. So I'm driving up this road and everything, and all of a sudden, like, four people start running at me, just like waving their arms, and they're like, bus driver, pull over. I'm just like, okay, like, what's going on here? Pull over. And it was like a little hippie commune that was living in the mountains of Nederland, Colorado. And so they're like, yeah, man, you need a place to camp. And it's getting dark at this point. I'm like, yeah, actually I do. They're like, yeah, you can come join us. So I pull in and I park next to this old short school bus, and that was their leader's. That's where he lived. He lived in the bus. The bus's name was Sparky. I park next to them. I'm like cooking some dinner, and, you know, I'm like, yeah, thanks for like letting me stay. And there's probably 15 people here, and I'm talking to the guy who's in charge, and I'm like, yeah, you want anything to eat or anything? He's like, nah, you know, thanks for the offer, man, but I only eat grilled cheese. Keep in mind, this guy's name was Spongy. He called himself Spongy. He had a big, like, bow and knife strapped to his side. I'm like, okay, this could get a little sketchy. And he had a cat sitting on his shoulder that he called Shoulder Cat, you know, obviously. So
it's a different breed up there,
different
man.
Different breed, dude. And they were going pot in the forest, you know what they were doing.
Right.
There's a bunch of old guys, you know, just sitting around. I met a couple who had, like, met, like, 5 days before, and they had just gotten married. Like, you know, and they were on their honeymoon traveling. These three guys were having a midlife crisis, and they were, like, traveling in their Subaru across the country. And this was, like, one of their last stops before they went home. And they, like, found this dude, and they were just staying in the mountains with them. So anyways, he's like, yeah, man, I only eat grilled cheese. I'm like, you only eat grilled cheese? Like, what's that mean? He's like, yeah, you'd be surprised how many different ways you can eat grilled cheese. And I'm just like, all right, you know, I guess I won't argue with you. We're sitting there, and, you know, we're all around the campfire and a little inebriated, you know, mentally altered, if you will. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm playing all these songs with my guitar that, you know, I know by heart, and I can't remember the damn words just because I'm so messed up. And I just remember this guy next to me, one of the dudes who's on the midlife crisis, he just starts crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, this is the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life.
That's
and I was
awesome.
Like, all right. Yeah, I stayed with them for a couple days, all good things. Went to leave and got out of there. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll go home now. And I started my way. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to keep driving. So I ended up just staying in the bus for a month. So that night I did a straight shot from Colorado to Jackson, Wyoming, which in a normal car would be like an 8-hour drive, but in a Volkswagen, you know, it's about a 12-hour drive.
Right, right,
so
right.
I pull into Jackson, Wyoming, you know, about, I think it was like 11 o'clock, and it's middle of summer. So everyone, you know, tourist season in full swing. I'm looking for a campground to camp at, you know, and like, scooting around. I'm like, can't find a spot anywhere. And it's 11 o'clock at night in this campground. All of a sudden, I'll never forget it, this guy comes out of nowhere. I didn't even see him walk up. And he just like slaps my window. And he's like, dude, and he scared the heck out of me. And he's like, dude. And he like unbuns his shirt, pulls down his sleeve. He's like, I love the Dead. And he has a Grateful Dead tattoo. And you know, my bus has the Dead head on the front. I'm like, oh yeah, so do I. And he's like, yo, are you like looking for a place to camp? And I'm just like, actually, yeah. He's like, well, I got four spots that no one's in. Cause he was a leader for the Conservation Corps. And so none of his workers had showed up yet. So he had all these reserved spots for them to stay at. No one was there yet. He's like, yeah, like as long as you leave in the morning, you can just stay here tonight. So I'm like, sweet. So we roast some hot dogs over the fire. We drink a little bit. You always take something to trade with you, you know, when you're on a trip. And so I had all these peacock feathers, and I remember I gave him a peacock feather, and he was like happiest dude in the world for some reason. He's like, oh, this seems so beautiful. But so we're sitting around the campfire, and just out of nowhere, he's like, dude, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, you think I could like drive your bus? And I'm just like, yeah, definitely. That's a great idea. So it's like 2 a.m. We get the bus. This dude's never driven stick before.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so like I'm trying to teach him how to drive stick. We're both kind of drunk. And it winds up like I put it in first gear for him, and we just idle around the campground. And this dude's like having the time of his life just driving the bus. And we're just like putting around the campground at 2 a.m. I'm sure disturbing everyone. But
yeah, some loud-ass Volkswagen. Two drunk guys.
So it was good. And after that, just I left in the morning and wound up traveling for a few more weeks. That's probably one of the best trips I've ever been on.
Oh, dude, that's a fantastic story.
Yeah,
when so. You open up and you don't have a destination,
yeah,
and you kind of just throw yourself out there and do what feels right,
yeah,
it seems
exactly.
Like...
And that's the best part is, you know, you just go and you don't know where you're going to end up that night. You play it by ear, and it's some of the most fun you'll ever have. Like I was telling you earlier, I took it up to go skiing at a summer ski area in Montana, and drove fine up there, and actually wound up driving it with no oil basically for probably 100 miles of the trip. But it's a Volkswagen, so they don't die, you know.
Right.
But I got up there, me and a friend was like, oh, you're leaking some oil on the ground, put some more oil in it, and oil waterfall was coming out the top, and engine had rattled itself apart, and it was done. I had to abandon it there for a couple days. I came back and got it. Since then, I've had the engine out, totally redoing. I've rebuilt it twice now, and something's not quite right, so we're on our third try, and that's why I haven't had as many more adventures in it recently as I would have liked to. Engine's actually probably going in today or tomorrow, and hopefully we'll get her back going.
Right on, man.
That's the story, man.
I love it. What I love is the spirit of it is you have this old vehicle that has so many memories and experiences, and the previous owners likely just a lot of serendipitous moments and a lot of freedom involved with it. And when you get something that has that much history to it, you're willing to put the work in. I'm sure it's at times a pain in the ass, but
I've never gotten more angry at a piece of metal than I have. I caught insult to it, and I get pissed off. I'm like, you Nazi German piece of garbage. You know, Volkswagens they're either extremely easy and everything goes right, or it's just a pain in the ass. The engine's held in by 4 bolts, so it's a simple car. But the 4th bolt to get to, you have to get backwards, upside down, inside out, and reach your arm up where you can't see. And, you know, that's the one, and it just bugs the heck out of you. Like I said, it's either easy or it's insanely difficult. You carry a book with you. It's referred to as the Bible in the Volkswagen community. It's called How to Keep Your Volkswagen Alive for the Complete Idiot, with complete spelled wrong, so you know it's good, right? It's C-O-M-P-L-E-A-T. And this book was written, in the 60s, and it's basically like, it's not like a normal car book where step by step, like do this, do this, do this, do this. He writes it, the guy who wrote it, John Muir, which is kind of funny because of the famous John Muir.
No kidding.
Yeah, but his name's also John Muir. The way he wrote it was so stupid hippies who were stoned could still fix their car. And what happens is, instead of like pull your spark plugs, it's like, all right, well, get a bandana and tie your long hair back because you're going to get down, and then take a wrench that's about the size of your knuckle. It gives you like weird step-by-steps, and intermixed with this, it's got like kind of these quotes that you should live by it. And the famous one that I kind of think of that refers to the Volkswagen, everyone refers to it, it's be kindly to your ass, for it is what bears you. And that's the first thing you see when you open this book. So not only is it a car book that keeps you from breaking down on the side of the road, It's a book that gives you a little life advice too. So everyone follows that. You're constantly in that book. Like something's wrong on the interstate, you open that book, there's a troubleshooting thing. It's got sections in the back called like squeaks and squeals or clicks, bangs, and oinks, you know, and stuff like this. And so you open it back, you're like, oh, that sounds kind of like a click. And you read it and it's like, if it's doing this, try this and this'll fix it.
And it probably works.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it definitely works. So, you know, you pull over on the side of the road, and I've had countless times where someone pulls up. I remember I was in the canyon between Bozeman and Big Sky one time, and it wasn't quite running right, didn't have any power. And I pulled over and was looking at the book buried in the back of the engine, you know, and this guy pulls over. He's like, oh, you need any help? Like, I owned these all through the 70s, you know, I had four of them. And I'm just like, yeah. And so he grabs a screwdriver, turns a couple screws, and it runs like new. And I was like, oh, well, thanks. You know, so you meet the best people when you're in a VW because the assholes don't stop. Only the good people will stop and help you out. There's no other vehicle, and this is a quote I heard somewhere too, that there's no other vehicle that breaking down can be turned into a positive experience. If you had like a minivan, you broke down, you know, you're in some town, you're going to leave it, you know, you're going to just rent a car and keep your trip going, you know, you're not going to try to fix it. But if you got a bus, that's your bus. You can't leave your bus, got all your belongings in it, you're attached to this thing. And, you know, so you got to find a way to fix it. Yeah, I broke down one time in, I think it was in West Yellowstone or somewhere, and my distributor went out. You know how many Volkswagen distributors there are in West Yellowstone, Montana? They were going to have to wait for 3 days to ship me one. Well, this guy saw me broken down, and he's like, oh, you need help? I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, my distributor's toast, you know? So he's like, oh, well, just come over to my place. We'll pull the one out of mine, and you can have it. So basically, we pulled it out of his VW bug. Put it in my bus. I drove home. He's like, yeah, just mail it back to me when you get home.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I got home and I mailed the distributor back to him. That's kind of the thing. It's a weird little cult, I guess.
I think that the right people for those type of things are the ones that end up owning them, because you have to be a little bit of a special, crazy kind
Definitely,
of person
yeah,
to do
you gotta,
that.
You know, not a lot of normal people will come up and be like, man, I've always wanted these. I'm like, are you a mechanic? Because if you're not a mechanic, you definitely shouldn't own one of these, you know?
Right.
You know, but they're a lot of work, but they're a lot of reward too. You know, there's not quite a feeling like being an hour away from home, going down the road and just watching scenery go by, and you're as happy as you can be. You got the windows down and you're breathing so many fumes in from the back of the engine that you go a little crazy and it's so loud, and you know, it's just good fun.
Right on, man. Oh man, such a great start to me doing this, and I think that this leads into me wanting to do some more research. And in here talking to you about this, I remember this place up in Portland that had an old, I don't think it was a Volkswagen, it was an old bus, and
yeah,
you're giving me some future aspirations of wanting to have one of these as like a seating place for my
for sure,
hungry
yeah,
hippie business.
That'd be so sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of one thing leads to another. With that said, I think we're going to wrap up here. So Spencer, cool, thank you for your time.
Hippie and Greg, thank you, man. It's a pleasure having you. Stay here in Wyoming. If you're ever back through, you're welcome. And I hope you have a good rest of your trip, dude.
Right on, man. Well, thanks a lot, Spencer. And we're signing out.